you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John. And let's look in chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. And let's look in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now, this is not a trick question, but who saw the wind yesterday? Well, you see the effects of the wind, don't you? None of us has ever seen the wind, but we see the effects of it. And he says that's what it's like, those that are born of the Spirit. That means you can't figure people out. Now, I'll turn over a couple chapters to chapter 6 in verse 63. Jesus says this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You know, that's one way that you can tell the difference between something that's of the Lord and of the Spirit of God. If it's just dead, it's the flesh. But it's the Spirit that quickens. What's that word quicken mean? Made alive. So it's the Spirit that quickens us and makes us of life. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for anointed ears to hear and to receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we began talking about the supernatural and how we should live supernatural lives. And so, one of the things we understand is even the new birth is supernatural. Every part of the believer's life should be supernatural. Can you say amen? And so, the supernatural is actually the believer's natural realm. Just like a fish to water, we see that the supernatural should be just as natural to the believer. It should be something that's very common. We're not talking about something spooky or some weird place, but we're just talking about, what does super mean? It means beyond. Superman, I mean, he was just beyond natural man. But, you know, he was beyond just the natural. Well, the same thing, the supernatural is just beyond the natural. We live in the natural realm, but we are supposed to be living supernatural lives. Hallelujah. We talked about the whole life of Jesus being supernatural. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He performed miracles. And then he died and was buried, but was resurrected. And we also talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the last time I was with you, because I didn't speak last week. Amen. Different evidences of a supernatural life. Number one, we talked about the new birth being supernatural. We talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That when we are clothed with power, the Bible says we are endued with power. This is for every believer. Every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, sometimes people, you know, they say things like, well, you know, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's not true. Just like if you're not baptized in water, you're still going to make heaven if you're born again. And so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is supernatural. And we talked about having a supernatural prayer life, that we depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. You know, there's many times where we don't know what to pray for as we ought. When times of crisis come, the times of crisis come to us all. So at that time, that's when we begin to pray. We say, Holy Spirit, show me, give me the utterance right now. I don't know how to pray as I ought. And then I begin to pray in other tongues. I begin to pray as the Spirit gives me utterance. And then you pray until that burden lifts. How do you know that burden lifts? There's a joy in your spirit. There's a release. There's just a laughter. And you know, hey, I've got the answer right now. I don't know all about it, but I know that that burden has lifted. And that's what you do. You just pray till that lifts. That's supernatural. Hallelujah. And then one of the last things we said was that we have supernatural gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. And these gifts are not natural. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has equipped every one of us with everything that we need. He's given us supernatural gifts. Now, you know, as the church, the Bible says that he gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. But we do have the Spirit with measure. That means that, you know, we can't do it all. But as the whole church together, we are the whole body of Christ. We have all the gifts. So God has given us supernatural gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I want to look in verse 3. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, church tradition tells us that people would get up and do that. They would get up and say, Jesus is accursed. I mean, no, that's the wrong spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. And so here's what he's saying. Whenever the Spirit of God is in manifestation, Jesus will always be made Lord. Jesus will always be magnified. So when the manifestations are present, they're always going to draw people to Jesus. And so true manifestations make Jesus Lord. And here's another thing. Manifestations of the Spirit, people being used by the Lord, is not to lift up man or draw attention to man. It's not to make you look spiritual. You know, it's like the one person, they were new in the things of the Spirit, and they thought, you know, hey, I want to make sure people know that I've got it, you know. So they were at this prayer meeting. We'll just say the guy's name was John, you know. Like this guy's praying, he says, someone said, hey, is John showing up tonight to the prayer meeting? And he got up, thought he was going to be real spiritual, and said, thus saith the Lord. No, he's not going to make it tonight. And anyway, they kept going for a little bit. A few minutes later, they hear someone pulling up outside. They look outside, and it's John pulling up. This guy gets back up and says, thus saith the Lord. He changed his mind. Well, how many know that's not the true manifestation of the Spirit? That's just someone, that's a spiritual baby just trying to look important, you know. And so the gifts of the Spirit are not to make us look good. The gifts of the Spirit are to lift up Jesus. And saying that, here's one of the things we have to understand. Spiritual gifts can be exercised by spiritual babies. And you know what's good is God just uses us the way we are. And you know, God uses all the ain'ts and the, you know, every word, however people talk, God uses that and he can still anoint them. You know, but here's the thing. It's just like water that flows out of a pipe. You know, who's ever enjoyed water when it comes out, you know, it doesn't taste the best, but you know, water coming out of a hose, you know, when it's a real hot summer day. Well, you know, you don't glorify the hose or glorify the pipes. Oh, what a wonderful pipe. What a wonderful hose this is. No, you're just thankful for the water. All of us, we should be glad for the manifestation, but we're not supposed to glorify the pipe or glorify the person involved. Can you say amen? So all of these things glorify Jesus. But I said this also, they can be exercised by spiritual babies. Now listen, I want you to listen to what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. He says, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now what he means is this. What does he mean by spiritual? He means by being matured spiritually. spiritually, being grown up spiritually. He says, but I had to speak unto you as carnal, even as to babes in Christ. He said, you're babies. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. He says, for you are yet carnal. For where there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Other translations say as mere men. So what's Paul saying? He says, you're walking just like people who have never been changed. People who have never been saved. And you're carnal. But you know, even later in this book, he says this. He says, you come behind in no gift. So Paul even, he did brag on them a little bit. Then he would correct them. But he said, you don't come behind in any gift, yet you're still carnal. So just because you exercise the gifts of the Spirit doesn't make you fully mature. Amen. Now, turn over back to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look in verse 7. Now, we need to learn these things and talk about these things. I like what I heard one man of God say. He said, you don't get gifts of the Spirit just by praying about them. You get them by teaching about them. Now, that was Brother Goodwin who said that, who was a very seasoned minister in the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, the Bible does say, covet earnestly the best gifts. You should covetly and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. But we need to be taught about these things as well. And he says here in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. In the original Greek, both of those words are plural. The gifts and healings are both plural by the same Spirit. To the another, and this also is plural in the Greek, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit. Notice, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So all of these manifestations of the Spirit are as the Lord chooses. So what does that mean? That means that Will doesn't just have gifts of healings in his back pocket. Well, you come here. Let me just pray for you. I got gifts of healings. You know, neither is it, you know what? You just come here. I'm going to give you a word because I have a word of wisdom just flowing in my life. Now, God may do that, but we don't operate those gifts whenever we want to. You know, I can't just get up and just do something just because I want to. Either you have a revelation or you don't. Either you have wisdom, the word of wisdom, or you don't. And so, this morning, I want to concentrate on one of these gifts. And before we get there, I want to say this. Three of these gifts we classify as saying something. We call them utterance gifts. Three of them say something to us. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Three of them do something. Gifts of healings, working of miracles. Then three of them reveal something, and that's what we call the revelation gifts. And all of these are available to us today. You know, see, a lot of times in church circles, a lot of people say, well, you know, that passed away when the last apostle died. But the Bible never told us that. The Bible never told us, well, you know, sorry, you're just going to have to drool and just, you know, wish you could have what we had. But, you know, when the last apostle died, all that ceased. No, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today. Amen. And so notice here he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom to another. So that means that you and I are going to have different gifts. We may not all have the same gifts. Now, you can operate in all nine of these as the Spirit of God wills. But he says here, to another, the word of knowledge. So I want to share this morning about the gift of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? Who's experienced the word of knowledge? Maybe you've had a word of knowledge. Amen. And you know, when you read the Bible, when we talk about this, it's amazing how people just think of the supernatural realm as being the devil's realm. You know, what do they think? Oh man, you must be a... It's like one person came to a minister and as we say sometimes, you know, they read their mail. Well, that just means they had a revelation of God. And anyway, this person said this to the ministers and said, oh, you must be a, you know, said this, and this, all about their life, and gave them the answer. Well, you must be a fortune teller or psychic or something. It's funny how people think, you know, that the devil has something, but, you know, poor old God, he doesn't have anything. But all the gifts of the Spirit, they come from God. And so, you know, the Bible definitely forbids us about anything to do with psychics, fortune telling, wizards. I mean, just read what the Bible says about all that kind of stuff. And soothsaying, all that. Here's a good thing. You don't have to go to the devil to get all that. There's help in God, and God will give you revelation. Amen. Anything you need, you ask the Lord, he'll provide that for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anything that the devil can do, God can top it off. Because, you know, actually the devil, he just perverts what God does and twists it. So the word of knowledge is this. It's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. A supernatural revelation of by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. And what makes the word of knowledge different from the word of wisdom is the word of wisdom, and we'll get to this, not today, but it deals with the future. But the word of knowledge is always past, present, you know, something going on right now or something that has happened. Can God give you that kind of knowledge? A word of knowledge. You know, sometimes you may be asking God, you know, Lord, what do I do like this? It can come as an inward revelation. It can come as a dream. It can come as a vision. God can give you a word of knowledge all these different ways. God can use the most unlikely person to speak to you as well. Have you ever done that where you've been talking to somebody and they don't know that they're talking to you, but they're talking to you and you get revelation from God by the most unseemly person. And so that's why you can't judge after the flesh. But one of the things about the word of knowledge is, one of the things that's not is the gift of knowledge. Well, you know, I just have the gift of knowledge. Well, there is no such thing as the gift of knowledge. There's the word of knowledge. And so, you know, what is a word? You know, a word is not the whole thing. A word is just a fragmentary part of a sentence. Amen. How many remember fragments and full sentences? And so, you know, fragment is just a little part of a sentence. So it's just a word of knowledge. It's not God giving you the whole thing. You know, that's why even when you study the word, you know, the Bible goes on to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, who's ever heard you've heard a message in tongues? You know, you hear a message in tongues and you hear the interpretation. Well, that is an interpretation. It's not translation. So like, if you translated something, that means you would, if it was this long, then you would translate it that long. But sometimes you can hear someone give a word and they'll give a much longer interpretation. Sometimes you can have a long one and someone give a short one, because you're just interpreting what the Spirit of God is actually saying. You're not translating it word for word. But that's another subject. But the word of knowledge is just a fragmentary part. So God imparts a word of knowledge to us, just that part that he wants us to know. And you know, that's the thing that sometimes can be frustrating, because you think, Lord, I want the whole picture, but he gives us everything you need to know for that moment. Amen. He gives you what you need to know. You just walk in the light of it. And so this gift, though, we have to emphasize, is supernatural. So if one of the gifts of the Spirit is supernatural, then all of them are supernatural. Why do I say that? Because, you know, people look at it and they say, well, you know, the gifts of healings is the chiropractor. That's not the gifts of healings. And I thank God for the chiropractor. Amen. I see one monthly, you know, just a couple of tweaks and things like that. And so gifts of healings is not medical science. Studying the Bible is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the word of knowledge. Thank God for studying the Bible. But what we're talking about is something supernatural. Yes. Something that you were not even thinking about. Have you ever just thought of something and you thought, boy, I don't know how I knew that or why I know this. Right. Well, that's a word of knowledge. And it can just float up from your spirit. And so I want to look at some Bible examples about the word of knowledge. Number one, think about Jesus Jesus appearing to John. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Now think about this. Now John, they called him John the Beloved, John the Apostle. They tried to boil him in oil, and it never worked. How many know you'd start rethinking some things? So they said, we'll get rid of him. We're going to exile him to this far-off island, the island of Patmos. Well, that's okay. Jesus said, that's all right. I'll just appear to him. Gives him the revelation, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so at that time, what happened? Jesus appeared to him and talked to him about seven different churches that were in Asia Minor at the time. Set what we call seven letters to seven churches. And he told them about the state and condition of these churches. And there was two of them that did good, and the other five needed much correction. And so in that, though, he had no revelation. He would have had no way of knowing all that except Jesus revealed that to him. So that was a word of knowledge. Acts chapter 9. Now look up, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 9. Why do we need this today? Because God is still in the supernatural business, and he may want to appear to you. He may want to give you revelation about something, and you need to know what it is. You need to covet the gifts of the Spirit. You know, people say, well, you know, it's wrong to covet, but the Bible says you can covet the best gifts. What does that mean? Earnestly desire the best gifts. And you might say, well, Pastor, which one of these gifts is the most important? The one that you need at the time. How many know if you're thirsty in the desert, $1 million really doesn't do you any good? What do you need? You need water. So the best gift is actually the one that you need right there at the moment. Acts chapter 9, and let's look in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then he answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So we see a word of knowledge manifested in a vision to a member of the church here. And here's one of the things we have to realize. Who was Ananias? Was he a preacher? Was he an apostle? The Bible calls him a disciple. So every person, every disciple, just means a learner and a follower of the Lord, can have a word of knowledge. Amen. I remember a church I was at in Ozark, Alabama. It was a thriving church, and there was a man who was, he was head of the greeters. But he had spiritual revelations. He had visions. You would have never thought it. Lou Turcotte was his name. And Brother Lou, and his wife, they had supernatural things and just, I remember She said, yeah, the doctor said I shouldn't be alive. She had this, she was just like missing an artery, or there was something just totally gone awry right there. She said, they told me I shouldn't live, but I'm still living. And, you know, just supernatural things that these people, the way they lived. But we would have visions during the service, and he would go tell the pastor, yeah, I saw Jesus. He said, in one account, he said that the pastor was up there preaching. He said, Jesus came in and just sat down at the front row. He said, well, was he happy with what I said? And things like this, and where they would see angels and things like that. But Brother Lou, he was just a disciple. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a pastor. So all these things can happen to any disciple whose heart is open to him. So Ananias, here's the thing about it. He would not have known in a certain, when Jesus tells him, go to such and such a place. He would not have known the place. He would not have known that there was a man praying there. Unless he had revelation. He could not have known this any other way than supernatural revelation, a word of knowledge. Now I want you to turn over one chapter. Look in chapter 10. And verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray upon the sixth hour. At the sixth hour. And he became very hungry. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, you've ever started to, you know, I'm going to press into God, and then the first thing you start getting hungry. Oh, man, I got to go eat that fried chicken, you know. He said he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The Greek literally says he fell over bodily. What happens in a trance is all that your physical senses are suspended. You don't know if you're in the body or out of the body. And so here's what happened. He says he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet near the four corners. He goes on to say in verse 14 or 13, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice speaking to him, and again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call thou not common. So what God's telling him is the Gentiles are coming into the gospel. It's not just for the Jews, but the Gentiles are coming in. And that's why he says, don't call them uncommon or common. This was done three times and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now look in verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Now I believe that this was more than just an inner witness. That's what the main thing that God leads us by is an inner witness, an inner knowing, an inner endorsement, an inner testifying. God leads us that way first and foremost, besides the word of God. But I believe that this was more supernatural from that. I believe it was the voice of the Holy Spirit telling him. Because it says here, the Spirit said unto him. It did not say that he just had a revelation. He says, the Spirit said, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So this, how many know this is supernatural? You know, even as we read the book of Acts, which is a supernatural account of the church, these things didn't happen every day. You know, people think that, you know, Peter walked on water every other day and that, you know, that these things just happened just whenever they wanted. But you would be hard-pressed to say that these things happened more than once or twice in many of their lives, their whole lifetime. In fact, I mean, Acts 10 is 10 years after the day of Pentecost. Acts 20 is 20 years after. Now, not every other chapter is adding a year, but it just happened to be that way with those two. But you only see those things happening a few times in the accounts. And we know that the Bible doesn't record everything. The Bible said even in the ministry of Jesus, if everything was written down that he did, even the world itself couldn't contain the books that were to be written. But God told us what we needed to know. And so here we see here, three men seek you. Peter didn't know where the men were Only the Spirit of God could let him know that kind of thing. How was that? By a word of knowledge. By a word of knowledge being revealed to his spirit. So how much we need these gifts today? I'm telling you, in the days that we live, we have to live in the supernatural. We can't just live according to our heads. We can't just have fat heads. We need to have our hearts that are full. Amen. And so, as we see in these three instances, these were word of knowledge given through visions. But there's also gifts that are manifested, the gift of the word of knowledge, through an inward revelation. Now, I want you to turn over to John 4 real quickly. Don't think, well, you know, that's not for me. That's for my wife or my husband. They're the spiritual one. No, God wants to use you, and he wants to reveal things to you. But John chapter 4 is the account of the woman at the well of Samaria. And let's look in verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. And verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have nothing and no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I like to think of it like this. If you knew, then you would have, and then he would have. If you knew the gift of God that was before you. If people really knew what come to the church, how their lives could be changed. And not that they just, you know, plop in a seat, but they actually press in. That they can ask of him, and then he would give living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, or said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. I thought about this morning, just as a side note. Brother John G. Lake, who was used powerfully by the Lord, he established 550 churches in South Africa. How many know that's pretty good? I know people that have 40 churches, but not 550. And so he established these churches and then, of course, you know, put pastors in there. But anyway, the Lord appeared to him and showed him the baptism in the Holy Spirit and gave him revelation. And here's what he said. He said, preach this, emphasize this, because this is the only thing that can meet the cry of the heart of man. How many know that there's the heart of man is what being hungry is what leads him out into false religions. It's what leads him out into sin and the things of the world. Because his heart is hungry. There's only one thing that can satisfy the heart of man, and that's the presence of God. That's the anointing of God. It's only the anointing. That's why we preach and we want to teach the word. But Paul said this. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4. So your faith this morning shouldn't be in eloquent words. It should be in the power of God. Why? Because what's going to change you? It's not just going to be, you know, just a fluffy message. It's got to have power. And that's what's going to change each one of us. And so that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. Like my wife shared last week, that praying in the Holy Ghost, the subject of what we call the gift of tongues. It's our prayer life. That is the door into the supernatural. It's the doorway. But many people, just like she had that piece of wood up here, and people trip over the doorway. What is the doorway? Speaking in other tongues. And so that's what John Lake was saying. He said, the Lord showed him, as you emphasize this, this is the only thing that can fulfill the heart of man. So we see here, the word of knowledge can be manifested in a number of different ways. It can be imparted and manifested by tongues and interpretation, by prophecy, by an angel coming and delivering a word of knowledge. So God actually has many different ways. And often these gifts work together. You know, we just separate them so we can understand them, but they all work together. Hallelujah. I mean, I remember back in 1991, I was in a service, and I was not even born again at the time. And I'm just sitting there, you know, about where Logan is back there. And I just had some mints I was about to take out. And this guy started ministering to people. Now, when you're not familiar with the things of the Spirit, that's when you start having, like, sweat coming on your head. That's when you start getting nervous. And he starts ministering to this guy. His name was Gene May. I still remember it. And I think my mom, she went home to be with the Lord about 3 years ago, but I think she still has the cassette tape of that service. I need to get it. But I need to just get all the spiritual stuff. I thought I had books until I went to her house and when we did her homegoing. And I thought, man, my bookcase is about a fifth of this. You know, she had books everywhere. In this room, and this room, and like hundreds and hundreds of them. Each CDs, DVDs, tapes, cassettes. She didn't have any 8-tracks, but that was about all. But let's get back to this. Sometimes the gift of the word of knowledge is confused with a profound knowledge of the Bible. Now, let me get back to that. I'm sorry. Gene May, that's what I was getting to. I'm in a service, and he's ministering to people, and then he just looks at back there. He says, yes, you, sir, back there with the black coat on. Yeah, you. And I'm like, you know me, like this. He says, yeah, come on up here. And he starts ministering to me, and he starts telling me things. What is that, a word of knowledge? And prophecy. And so he says, he says, you remind me of your son and doing different things. And he talked about like what his career, and he said, I see you working with your hands, this and that. Anyway, he said, and he goes on to say something. He said, you can't outrun God. You can't run from God. Not that you've been running. And then he said, you'll preach the gospel. And I bet my mom, she was probably jumping up on the inside, but I didn't let on to it, and I was like, okay. And but that was a word of knowledge. I remember another guy that, about, I think maybe I had just given my life to the Lord. And this guy, he had long hair. He looked like he just stepped out of the New Testament or something, you know. And he got this long hair and looked like a disciple of Jesus or something. And he starts telling me and starts prophesying things. And, you know, I never was scared of those things, even though I didn't really understand them at the time. But God used those things to speak into my life. I remember another dear lady. She actually went to a Baptist church, but she was the most radical Baptist I'd ever seen in my life, you know. And she would just be real quiet, and she had just little bony arms. But boy, she'd start praying, and you just like, you start bowing your head in reverence to God, you know, and she starts speaking in tongues, and her niceness and her character, you know, it allowed you in your mind, to put up with anything else. And but anyway, she spoke the word of God and spoke different things over my life. And when I went to Bible school, she and her husband actually let us borrow their 15-passenger van. Now, there's not too many people that will say, okay, I'm going to let you borrow my 15-passenger van and drive 830 miles from here, loaded up everything that I had, and drove it out there. And then the second year did the same thing. And in the summertime, I didn't borrow someone's truck. My mom borrowed their pickup truck and drove it 800 miles just to move stuff into a storage unit. I mean, think about what a friend, you know. Yeah. You know, some people, they don't want to come across town, you know, to borrow, you can't borrow their truck or whatever. But they it was 800 miles. But I just say all of that to say this. There's many times in life that God will use people to speak into your life if you will listen. Yeah. And it's a word of knowledge. Yeah. And so sometimes the gift of the word of knowledge is confused with, as we said, a profound knowledge of the Bible. Just because you study the word of God, which we should do, that's not the same as the word of knowledge. God does reveal things, but how many know the Bible tells us that we still have to study to show ourselves approved? Here's another idea that people have, that the word of knowledge is that very real knowledge which comes with walking with God. How many know when you walk with someone, just like you walk with the Lord, you have a knowledge of God, a working relationship? But that's not the same as the word of knowledge. As we said, someone who hardly knows the Holy Spirit can have a revelation. And it doesn't show that they're some mature Christian. Now, the Bible tells us this. Here's a good example between the word of knowledge and natural knowledge. The Bible talks about in 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 10, it talks about Samuel and Eli. How many remember that Eli was the high priest? But his boys, he allowed his boys to go crazy. You know, and they were into all kind of sin. I won't even say it right now, what the things that they were doing. And that they were allowing at the temple gate. And I mean, at the door of the temple and in the temple. But we see that Samuel hears a voice. Eli, Eli. I mean, he gets up and says, Eli, you know, you've called me. But the voice said, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't know it was the Lord because he didn't know the voice of the Lord at the time. So Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. The second time it happened. The third time, he says, next time that voice happens, you hear it, then just say, Lord, I'm here. And so he did, and the Lord spoke to him. Here's the thing, though. Here's Eli who walked with God for all those years. He didn't even hear the voice. So just because you walk with God for a long time doesn't just necessitate or give you the upper edge to have a word of knowledge. And it's actually a very scary thing that someone like that can walk in that place and not even hear God's voice. And so why are we talking about this? Because God is still revealing things today. God still wants to move today. The gifts of the Spirit didn't disappear with the last apostle. I heard a story about a full gospel businessman. He was actually a Spirit-filled Baptist guy. And he was head of his full gospel chapter of the full gospel businessmen. And so he was praying one day. He went by this large Roman Catholic church. And I tell you what, I've seen some of these, like some of these churches, like the Washington Cathedral when I was in D.C. one time. And I mean, I don't know what affiliation that is, but I'm just thinking in my mind, like how big some of these churches are. And he said that he had this voice saying, you know, for him to go in. He said, there's going to be a priest there. And he's going to be praying. And I want you to go in there, pray for him, lay hands on him, and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, either you've just heard from God or you just made a big mistake. So he goes in there, and anyway, he goes in there, and they begin to greet one another. And he tells him, you know, that I'm so-and-so, and he said, I'm a part of this full gospel chapter. He says, praise the Lord. Now, this is the priest. He said, praise the Lord. He said, I've been reading about how God is moving in this different charismatic movement. And he said, was it even 10 minutes ago? I prayed and said, Lord, I don't know anybody who believes like this. I don't know anyone in this town that believes like this. If you would, please send someone by to pray with me. He says, and here you are right now. Now, how many know that's a word of knowledge? He would have had no knowledge of that man was there, that he was praying, much less that he was desiring these things. And so he prayed for him, laid hands on him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. A priest. Amen. You know, God is not moved by denominational barriers. You know, God will visit people in other religions. God will visit any person who's hungry. You know, if people's hearts are open, it's like I heard this, the account of the one guy. They were in Texas and the minister was preaching. And he had a word of knowledge. He saw this guy in the very back. He was about 6'4", had cowboy boots on. He said the reason he knew because he was standing when he stood up. And the church was slanted, kind of like an auditorium, like a theater. And so he looks at this guy. He said, you, sir. He said, you talking to me, preacher? He said, yeah. He said, stand up. He said, I didn't know what I was going to say. He said, and he started prophesying and saying what he told his wife. Well, you know, I'm not going down to that church. All they want is your money. And, you know, it's just tomfoolery and it's just all kind of this and that. He said, as I'm talking, this man ran down the, because he just read his mail, you know. He ran all the way down. He said he slid into second base. He said by the time he got there, he was speaking in other tongues. He said God saved him on the way down there, filled him with the Holy Ghost. How many know that's supernatural? You know, I've heard other supernatural accounts of these things happening. Where people will be preaching the word of God. And all of a sudden, like a big giant flashbulb. Now, how many remember the 110 cameras? You know, and you do this, you go, you know, when you advance the roll of film. Just take our word for it. And, you know, we could take out, we had the, boy, was that Kodak we had? And we took the, we had two of those, and we thought we were something, you know. But anyway, you could take a flash out, and you could put that little flash on the end, too. It had a built-in flash, but you could also put another one in there. And I bet my mom still had that. My wife's probably saying, yes, she did, probably. But my mom kept a lot of old keepsake things. But in that flash, I mean, it would just like, you know, just after the between pictures, you had to just get your focus back because it was so bright. And so I've heard of those things happening where people will be given altar calls and this like a sudden flash. And then all of a sudden, there'd be 6 to 8 people at the altar. Just like that. And some of the people would say, and they said, you know, that person that I never felt that person because they would have had to get up and brush by me to even get up to the altar. And I never felt it. And just all of a sudden, just like that, then people would be suddenly at the altar. Well, how many know that's a supernatural thing? God translated people. I mean, all these things are available to us today. We just have to have a hungry heart. And realize that the Holy Spirit is still manifesting himself to those who believe. And we need these supernatural manifestations. That's why we have to pray for these things. We have to pray that all of these things. I know in the last few years of his life, and I was in some of the services where Brother Kenneth Hagin would be praying. He said, Lord, he said, we pray that the power gifts would be in manifestation. Special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. Why? Because those are what arrest people's attention. Amen. When there's workings of miracles in the services. Yeah. So as we go down this journey, I'm telling you, this church is going to be a supernatural church. Why? Because you're going to go lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You're not just going to, you know, wait and bring them to church and I'm going to just bring them here. No, you're going to get them healed on the street.
Amen.
Why? Because you have the goods.
Yes.
You have all the weapons. And we said that a couple weeks ago. We have spiritual weapons.
Yep.
They're not natural. They're mighty through God. I'll close with this. And I heard the story that our pastor told. The guy who went to Argentina had the great revival down there. Hicks, not the other guy. I don't know if it's Roy Hicks or the other Hicks. Anyway, sorry. I wish I had all the details, but that's not the important thing. But he went in there, and just show you how God will move. He just went in, Tommy Hicks. So he went in there, and this is like the 50s, I think. He went in there, he said, I want to have a meeting with the president. The guy said, you just can't come in here and have a meeting with the president. Who are you, you know? Like a flash, he said, this is what's wrong with you. Boom, 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 boom. And he laid hands on him, and he was healed immediately. Guess what? He got into the president. So he got into the president and had the meeting with the president. He said, who are you? What are you doing here? He says, here's what's wrong with you. And he names it out. Boom, 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 boom. The president said, what is it you want? He said, I want the stadiums here. And he had mighty revival. You know, you start having a word of knowledge about an incurable disease you've had for decades. And God heals you at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's going to open your ears? There's going to be like something that just, the light bulb comes off. What would you like?
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Tommy Hicks. And he had mighty revival.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need these things today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and magnify you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Ghost that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for all the manifestations of the Spirit. And Father, we just thank you right now that the ones that we need, Lord, that's the most important one. And you know exactly what each person needs. And I thank you that, Lord, that you would manifest yourself as you will. And we know that you will more than we will. We thank you for the mighty moves of the Holy Ghost from days past. But we thank you, Lord, that you're the same God yesterday, today and forever. And we begin to expect these things. Lord, that when we don't know what to do, we expect you to show us and reveal unto us. Even as Daniel was known because there was a God who reveals himself through secrets. And Lord, you even said that when we pray in another tongue, Lord, that we're speaking and talking secrets. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we are not without help and that you're a supernatural God. And we bless you and thank you for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to eat in just a few minutes, but the most important thing is we've been talking about this morning. And yes, don't go, we're also going to have communion as well. But we're talking about having a working relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a working relationship where we have communion one with the other. But that starts with a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're in this place and you say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today, as you've been speaking, I have a hunger in my heart to know him, and I want to accept him in my life, then today I want to pray with you and for you, that you'll know for sure beyond a shadow of doubt that your home is in heaven. Or secondly, you may say, I know what you're talking about. I once experienced this in my life, but I walked away from God and I haven't been walking with him like I should. Then I want to pray with you and for you. Or thirdly, you may even say this, I just don't have the assurance today. You know, if I died right now, I would hope that I made heaven, but I don't know for sure. But today you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home. So with no one looking around, any three of those categories, for the first time, or you want to recommit your life, or you just want to have that reassurance. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you raise your hand, then I want to do what I said. I want you to just stand up to your feet and come up. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, let me just say this too. A lot of people think that the gifts of the Spirit will scare people, but that's what the devil wants people to think. People think, well, you know, we just got to keep the Holy Spirit in the back room till after service. And if you're like really, really want to see him, you know, he can be back there. But, you know, I'm not talking about a bunch of goofy stuff, but I'm just talking about a real genuine move of the Spirit. Then that's what draws people. That's what people are hungry for. And a lot of times people aren't going to receive that. They're not going to see that. So we don't want to be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We want to, it's like, hey, do you talk in those tongues? Yeah, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to hear it? You know, just be honest with people, you know. Hallelujah. So this morning, you came to receive from man, not from me. Not from man, but from God. That's why we put our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We don't come to see man, hear from man. We came to hear from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to just as an act of surrender, just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Your left hand's fine too. There you go. Just say this with me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Let me never be the same. Lord, I commit my heart to you and recommit my heart to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you, Lord, that you're coming back again for me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you said that, eternal life is imparted to your spirit? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Forgiven.